Today, we're going to continue to talk about God's philosophy versus man's philosophy. We began last week. So if you have your Bibles, stand up and hold them above your head. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts, chapter 17. When you find your place, say, I have it. Last week, we began to talk about philosophy. Most people, when they hear that word, they sort of turn it off. I don't want you to turn it off, because God's philosophy is why we're here today. Our philosophy is what keeps us from being here today. God's philosophy is what everything that we learn out of this Bible is based on. Our philosophy is what keeps us from accepting God's philosophy. So I want to talk to you about God's philosophy versus man's philosophy. Now, I gave you the definition last week, and I want to reiterate it with you. Philosophy is the study of the fundamental nature of knowledge, reality, and existence. And no, this is not a class. I'm just giving you a definition. Listen to the definition of philosophy. Pretty simple. It's the study of the fundamental nature of knowledge, reality, and existence. And you're going to have the world today giving you different philosophies of this world and reality and what you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to strive toward and what's important and what's not important and what's right and what's wrong. Are you seeing this in the society that you live in today? How many different philosophies there are out there, right? But to break it down in simple definition, philosophy is being able to state why we're here, what is our purpose, and where do we go from here. Your life and my life, the first question that every man has to answer, why are we here? The second one, what is our purpose here? And the third one, where do we go from here? Do you know that if individuals, you here, those that are listening by way of radio or CD, do you realize that if you don't have those questions answered in your life, you will never finish searching for them? Philosophy is important. And everybody has different philosophies, not just about what we're going to talk about. Do you know that we're driven to adapt a philosophy? When people accept a philosophy of life, their mindset is to live according to that philosophy. You know that some people have a philosophy that says, spend. I want to spend and I want to buy and I want to get this. I love to enjoy it. And some people have the philosophy of save. I want to be able to keep and have the security of that. Do you know there's two different kinds of people? If you do, say amen. Do you know there's different philosophies, even in our political scene? That's what divides it. You have the philosophy of the Democrats. You have the philosophy of the Republicans. You have the philosophy of the Libertarians. You have the philosophy of different people. Each person has a different philosophy. That's how they distinguish each other. And then some people have a different philosophy at work. There are some people who think, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to prepare and I'm going to be diligent and I'm going to put all the time I can into being able to make myself the best at what I do, because I want to be able to go out and give 100% and I want to be able to make a living and support my family, and I'm going to work as much as it takes to do that. And those people are driven. They have that philosophy. And other people have the philosophy of, okay, well, as long as somebody else is working, I don't have to work. And so we'll let them work, and I can take the free ride as long as somebody's giving it to me. I don't have to be able to go and do that. Do you see that philosophy today? So you see, the world is set up with all kind of different philosophies. And our philosophies, really, think about it, our philosophy that we have of life drives our direction. Our direction in life is determined by the philosophy that we have of life. The one thing that makes different people choose different directions in life, and the one thing that motivates a person to do something or not to do something, is their philosophy about that certain something. The reason that so many people believe so many different things is because mankind has so many different philosophies in life, and you see, there's a reason for it. I'll talk a little bit about us, mankind. You see, man wants to see himself as wise and intellectual. Man wants to say that they figured out life. They figured out why we're here. They figured out what our purpose is here. And man wants to say that they figured out where we're going from here. You see, the problem is that mankind, with all of our perceived wisdom, have so many different philosophies of life that people can't come together on it. And if you took all of our philosophies, excluding God's philosophy of life, and put them all together, well, no one could agree. And you see, the devil wants to have big numbers to go against God. He always has wanted big numbers, right? So what he does is that he influences people to come up with different philosophies. You see, people that choose to believe their own philosophy over God's philosophy keep them from accepting God's philosophy. But there's a new philosophy that people can choose that keeps people from believing that the only true philosophy of life comes from God. And I began to share it with you last week, and I want to talk a little bit about a little bit more about it today. You see, I want to give you basically the overview of God's philosophy. And then we're going to look at man's philosophy. And then we're going to look at what the Bible says about it. And I want you to understand why we should accept his instead of ours. You see, man has a desire to be the one that is right. We all want to be right. How many people want to be right in here? And if we develop our own philosophy of life, then we can pattern our life to it and it becomes right, even when others say it's wrong. And what happens is, generationally, we end up with a problem, because generationally, when man begins to teach man that they're smart enough to figure out life and come up with their own philosophy of life, then it drags man away from God. You see, God created life, and he sustains life. And he shared with us in his holy word, which we call what? The Bible. God shared with us his own philosophy of life. But mankind has a desire to be smarter than God, so man goes against the Bible and comes up with his own philosophy, and then tries to convince others to accept their philosophy of life over God's. You see, there's a real danger when a society begins to reject God's philosophy and live by their own. The reason I preach this to you today, and the reason this has been so intent in my study, and we're going to do a series of messages on it, is because our society today is there. We were a society that was founded on, a nation that was founded on, the principles and the moral law of God. I'm not saying that everyone was Christian. I'm saying the moral law of God, the Bible, and what it said was right and what it said was wrong became the standard of how we were even governed in our laws. So people could refer back to the Bible and they would base it on the Bible. But today, man has a different philosophy. Man has become smart, and man says, I can give you a philosophy that fits today's time, and you don't have to accept the old philosophy. And then if you teach that to this generation and this generation, then generationally, your society will go away from the philosophy of God and start accepting the philosophy of man. We have, and I would ask you to go to a high school or college student. I've talked to plenty of college students, and they go to college and they call and they say, we're being taught this and we're being taught that, because that is the agenda with a lot of your colleges, not all of them, but a lot of your colleges. The majority will go in and teach. You say, what are they teaching our kids? Their main goal is to teach your children a new philosophy of life. That philosophy of life does not include God. As a matter of fact, it tells them if they are intellectually superior from going to have a higher education, then they have to accept man's philosophy over God's philosophy. Ask them. Go and ask them. The ones that won't answer you are the won't answer you and tell you, yes, they're trying to do that, are the ones that have already bought into the philosophy that they're being taught. They have seen themselves as being intellectually superior. They see themselves as being over intellectual as far as comparing it to you. They've passed your standard. Okay, you believe in the God thing. This is what I believe. I know God said that. I'm not discounting this, but this is the way it really is. You see this in today's time when you see a society that is clearly accepting what God has clearly told us is wrong. When you see laws change into philosophies of men, and when you see the people in government from the highest up all the way down through the people that make the laws begin to twist the laws to fit man's philosophy and they leave God's philosophy, then you realize we have a problem. And we don't need to wake up and say, hey, do you see what's happening there? This is bad. No, it's bad when we stop teaching God's philosophy and adapt our own philosophy. And understand something, don't point your finger at them. It's in all of us to do that. You know why? Because we all want to be right. This is how big a deal this philosophy thing is. Get this. Our entire life on this earth and the blessings and the peace and the happiness that we have while we're alive is dependent upon whether we accept God's philosophy or man's philosophy. Your life right now, your whole life is dependent upon whether you accept God's philosophy or man's philosophy. The peace you have, the happiness you have. There are some people now that are deceived because they have their own philosophy that says, okay, listen, I'm going to come every now and then. I know the basics about God, and I believe there's a God, and I'm going to be at church once in a while and when it fits into my plan, and I'm going to do that. And listen, we try to do good here, but you know there are other things that come up, and this is what we're more geared to. But whenever we can do that, we're going to do that because we're believers. They have a different philosophy. They're not believing the philosophy that God says, which says, okay, you need to be wanting to be around me. You need to be wanting to praise me, wanting to worship me, wanting to study, wanting to be able to learn more about me because you really believe. They have a different philosophy. They think God is a side note. And whatever it is that they're worshiping is the real thing. So our earthly life, all our existence here, the blessings we get are based on whether we accept God's philosophy or our own. The second thing, our entire eternal life, that's where we're going, is based on whether we accept God's philosophy or man's philosophy. So understand this, to accept a philosophy means to believe that way of thinking is true. Pretty simple definition, right? To accept a philosophy means for you to believe that that way of thinking is true. Why did we have Bible school this week? So that we could teach God's philosophy. Why did you have Sunday school today? So that you could teach God's philosophy. Your responsibility of a parent is having your child Adam, because they're not going to be taught that anywhere except for people who have a desire to teach God's philosophy. Amen. And in your home. And parent, I don't want to break your heart, but sometimes you're called to be consistent in your home, but sometimes someone else can reach your child in a different way than you can. That's why God tells you not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because he calls a body of Christ to be able to raise Christian children. Why? So that society doesn't accept the wrong philosophy. Eventually, when mankind begins to have so many different philosophies that dispute God's philosophy, and so many different people want to find unity together. You see, the devil wants strength in numbers, so he realized if these people believe this, and these people believe this, and these people believe this, guess what the devil does? He comes up with a great plan. He says, I want to introduce a new philosophy. And then people begin to accept a new philosophy that makes them all feel right in what they believe. Because man wants to feel what? Right. And I began to share this with you last week, and I want to talk about it briefly again. We talked about it last time. This new philosophy that the devil has introduced is what we call today pluralism. Pluralism. Now, pluralism comes from the word plural. Plural means what? Somebody give me a definition. More than what? Tell me again. More than what?
One.
Plural. More than one. So pluralism basically is a philosophy that says many different or diverse religions or beliefs can coexist at the same time, and that all religions are equally good and lead to God. And that everyone's God is who they believe God is. Did you hear that? Everyone's God is who they believe God is. So that means no matter what we believe, we can go together. And I'm not going to say that yours is wrong. And we're going to be able to combine here and hold hands. And I'm going to accept that you're praying to somebody totally other than the God that I'm praying to. And that to you, it means God. So we accept it. So all that group comes together under one title of philosophy, a coexisting philosophy. And they're all united together against the only philosophy that says there can be one God and one God only. You say, I feel like we're outnumbered. Well, understand that the devil always wants to put numbers together. But if God is for you, who could be against you? He's the God of angel armies, right? As we sung this morning. We see the same thing happening as we studied our passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 17. You see, Paul was seeing this same problem that we see in Acts 16, where we find that Paul was seeing so many different people accepting so many different things to worship. Do you remember our story last week? Paul was in Athens, and he was waiting on the others to get there, so he took a stroll down the street. And he's able to see this God that people worshiped and a temple to this God and this idol that was there and this idol. And they all had accepted the fact that, okay, we're all going to worship whatever we believe in, and everybody is fine to be here. You say, are you preaching against the freedom of worship? Absolutely not. Because everybody has to make a choice to choose God. I'm preaching about the acceptance of what everybody else worships. You see, tolerance used to mean tolerate something, put up with it. Tolerance has a new definition today as defined by our government and the news media. Tolerant means you accept what they believe. You can't call them wrong. You say, that's not what tolerant means. I know, that's what I'm saying. But yet, why are we believing it? Understand this. Paul goes down the street and he's stirred. The Bible tells us that he was stirred. The spirit inside of him was stirred because he saw so many people. And last week we pointed out he didn't begin to preach against one specific God. He began to preach based on this statue that he came to, this plaque, this temple, this shrine that he came to that was dedicated to the unknown God. He says, let me tell you about the unknown God. Begin reading with me in Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. You know what this means? They were too religious. They believed in too many different things. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship him. Him I declare unto you. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also as your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, given by art or man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now. Hey, I need you to say those two words with me. Again. Something's getting ready to change, right? But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. What man is that? That's the man Christ Jesus. So as we read this, we discover a lot of things here. We discover a lot of similarities too. They were a society that began to accept pluralism. They believed that they all could worship and coexist together and that nobody would offend anybody and that everybody should just accept, not just tolerate, but accept. And you can be here and I can be here. We believe different things, but whatever you call God and whatever I call God, it's still the same God. Well, understand that that is not the philosophy of God. God said, I'm a jealous God. Not a bad jealous. He's saying, I want to love you and bless you and be your companion, but you can't have anybody but me. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make into yourself any graven image. We could go on and on, but God says, I have to be what? Number one. What we need to know is that God has always given man the correct philosophy of life. You say, well, how do we know God's philosophy? God has made sure. Listen, I want to show you today through God's word how intent he has been on this. You might say, well, how do I know what to accept of God? I want to show you how many ways, how much God has went out of his way, how much effort through history since man has been created, how much history, how much effort God has put in to making sure that you know God's philosophy. Do you know why he's done that? Because you accepting God's philosophy or rejecting God's philosophy is the difference in you having fellowship with God or not having fellowship with God. You accepting God's philosophy or rejecting God's philosophy is the difference of you spending eternity in heaven with God or eternity in hell without God. That's how important God's philosophy is. You say, well, how many places can it be in the Bible? Well, what you need to know is that he's always given us this philosophy. He's went out of his way to make sure that man can know these three questions. Why we're here? What is our purpose here? And where do we go from here? That's basically what every philosopher wants to be able to give an answer to, right? I mean, go back and look at Socrates and Plato and the Epicureans, the Stoics. Look at them. Listen to what they wanted to find out. Why are we here? What's our purpose here? Where are we going? They all had different philosophies, right? God spoke to mankind in the Old Testament so that man could spread his philosophy all over the rest of mankind. You say, what do you mean God spoke in the Old Testament? God used men in the Old Testament and women in the Old Testament to speak to influence. And you know them. That's why he gives us this Old Testament so that we can see these stories. You know, the first man created, what was his name? Adam. And God spoke to Adam, right? We see as the Bible began, he gave Adam instructions of all the trees in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat of it because of the day you eat of it, you shall what? Surely die, right? He gave him the philosophy of life. We go on and we could go through the Bible all the way to Noah. Repent and believe and be saved. Refuse to repent and believe my philosophy that I'm the only God and you'll die in this flood. A lot of people died in the flood, right? God's philosophy was passed to a man named Joseph. It was passed to Daniel. It went to Moses. So we saw men of God in the Bible where we see that God spoke to them. He spoke sometimes in dreams, sometimes in visions. Sometimes he spoke to them by an angel that came and spoke. But God made a way to be able to speak to these different people to influence them what they needed to do. As you get past them, you get to a group of people called the prophets. They were in the Old Testament. And God would speak to these prophets. He would relay something or lay something on their heart. And a prophet's job was to be able to prophesy. In other words, they would be able to tell men what God was trying to say. And God would speak to them in a divine way. You go all the way back to Samuel. And then you go to Isaiah, you go to Jeremiah, you go to Ezekiel, all the way up to Malachi. You see these prophets that God spoke to. And if you go back and read these books, it'll say, the word of the Lord came into Isaiah. The word of the Lord came into Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came into Ezekiel. God made a way to tell them the philosophy that he had so that they could share that philosophy. So we see God gave us those Old Testament saints. And then we see that God gave us the prophets. Why did he do this? So that we would know God's philosophy. You know, the prophets went all the way up to a man named John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had a message. He said, repent, for Jesus is coming. Repent, for Jesus is coming. And he was sharing God's philosophy. The only way to get to God is through Jesus, right? And those prophets brought us up to the Son of God who we know as Jesus. So get this. God wanted you to know his philosophy so well. He wanted it to be something that you knew so much that he gave us the Old Testament saints, he gave us the prophets, and then he gave us his son Jesus. Do you know what Jesus did? Jesus spoke on behalf of God while he walked on this earth because Jesus was God in the flesh. So God himself came in the form of Jesus to say, this is what to believe. This is what not to believe. This is what to do. This is what not to do. This is how you're going to be blessed. Go to Matthew 5 sometime and read the Beatitudes. Blessed is the man that does this. Blessed is the man that does this. Go back and read what Jesus says. Look at this, this way. Look at this, this way. Let me give you a parable to give you an example. Everything that Jesus spoke was telling us God's philosophy on something. And Jesus said, you must believe that I am the Son of God and accept my blood to cover your sins if you want to have fellowship with God. If you refuse that philosophy and reject it, you will not have fellowship with God, but you will go straight to hell. That was Jesus' philosophy. At the same time, he told them how much God loved them. God loved you so much, he sent me. His only begotten Son, that if you believed in me, you won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Amen. That's straight out of God's philosophy book, okay? Jesus told them, well, none of you are without sin. Paul later told us, no one's without sin. All of you have sinned. You can't get to God except through Jesus. So we had the Old Testament saints, we had the prophets, and then we had Jesus. And you know, when Jesus went back to heaven, guess what? God made a way, and he sent people called the apostles. These were disciples. These disciples followed Jesus, so they knew God's mind. And Jesus' job was to share God's mind. The apostles shared God's mind. These are people that saw Jesus after he was resurrected, and he told them, go and make disciples of all men. All the way up to the apostle Paul, which saw the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. And the apostle Paul and those apostles, they were able to write down the works of God. And they were able to speak on behalf of God. And God was able to have a mighty movement. And people were able to see God's philosophy. And lives changed. And people came to salvation knowledge. You had the Old Testament saints. You had the prophets. You had Jesus. You had the apostles. All that put together, God put it together in one written work, and we call this written work the Holy Bible. That's the next thing that God gave you to be able to know his philosophy. You see, all those divine instructions and wisdom from God was given to man so that man would know God's philosophy, and God wanted these things recorded so that man would know through the ages what God's philosophy is. So the recording of all of God's philosophy is what we call the Holy Bible. The Bible is the most important written work because it gives us God's mind. It gives us God's philosophy of life that we can know. What do you mean? The Bible will tell us why we're here. The Bible will tell us what our purpose is here. And the Bible will tell us where we're going from here. From the Old Testament saints all the way to the end of the Bible. And God has used his people of divine instruction to be able to write the words of the Bible down. From the time when Genesis was recorded all the way to the book of Revelation. Understanding, he used the apostles at the end to write. He used the Old Testament saints at the beginning to write and the prophets to write, and it all comes together. Do you think God wanted you to know his philosophy of life? Absolutely. And then we understand that if we choose to accept God's philosophy, then we have to believe the Bible. Well, in order to believe the Bible, you need to believe that God's the one that wanted you to know it. We all have different philosophies. We've already determined that. God gave us a verse of Scripture in the Bible that I love. It's 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what that means? It's God breathed. God gave it. It was inspired. It wasn't something that Paul came up with. It wasn't something that Samuel came up with. It wasn't something that Moses came up with. It wasn't something that Solomon came up with. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God spoke it to somebody so you could hear it today. Do you know why? God wants you to know His philosophy of life. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. That means complete. Thoroughly furnished unto good works. What he's saying is, God gave you these. If you have these and accept these, you won't need anything else. Thoroughly furnished. Underline that in your Bible. Thoroughly furnished when you get to 2 Timothy 3:16. That means you don't need anything else. God wants you to know that philosophy, but that's not it. You know, God put more effort into this. I want you to see something. The Bible's not the last thing that He gave us to give us His philosophy. We have something else that tells God's philosophy to man. It's called the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is a unique thing. This is the third person of God. This is God, the Spirit, that speaks to every man. God the Father, who's in heaven on His throne. God the Son, who came to this earth and died and was buried and was resurrected and is in heaven on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession with us, for us. And then God the Holy Spirit. That is the presence of God that speaks to every man. You say, hold on, you've messed up. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you unless you're saved. Well, that's not correct. How do you get saved if He doesn't speak to you? Let me tell you something. Back in our society, years ago, whenever our nation was established, I can tell you that all those men were probably not saved. But there was a presence of the Holy Spirit that was on this earth that led men to put moral law into place that was based on the Bible. Amen. And when they did that, God blessed because the Holy Spirit was leading them in the philosophy of God that says, this is wrong and this is right. This is wrong and this is right. And we pattern our laws by it. But then you get to an age where men think, we are smarter than that now, and you can't say that this is wrong because you're offending somebody. And so we're not going to have this law anymore. We're going to change this law. And then we're going to slap God's face by celebrating that we've become smarter than God. Exactly. God have mercy on anybody that would do that. You say, well, what's happened? It's as simple as this. This is why this subject is so big. Society today has adopted their own philosophy. And it is not God's philosophy. The same way as these philosophers did in Acts 17, they thought they became smarter than God. Now, the Holy Spirit is alive and well on this earth. Amen. And He's still convicting people. He convicts people and brings them to God. And people that have come to God, that Holy Spirit, it stays in you every day. Christian, if you're here, say amen, Christian. Amen. Guess what this Holy Spirit does for you every day? Every day, well, it does this, it does this, it does this. Guess what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit continually reinforces God's philosophy inside of you. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Mike, that's wrong, don't do it. That's wrong, don't say it. This is right, you need to say this. Listen, I know this is not convenient, but you need to do this. Hey, you need to read this. This is the time you need to talk to me. Come to me with this. Hey, don't think that about them. Hey, go over here. Hey, there's a worship service going on. You need to be at. My presence is going to be there. Go there. Do this. Don't do this. That's what the Spirit of God inside of you, it keeps telling you God's philosophy of life. Pure and simple. It holds us accountable and tells us what to do and what not to do. The Holy Spirit speaks to all men to draw you to God. And then after we accept the philosophy of God by believing, and what you're doing when you believe and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, get this. I can put salvation in simple terms. Believing and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're accepting God's philosophy. That's what you're doing. What does His philosophy say? There's no other way to get to me except by Jesus Christ. You have to accept that. You either believe it or you don't believe it. But I'll tell you this about the Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit will convict and it will call and it will call. But there's a time when the Holy Spirit will stop calling a man. We don't know how many chances we have, but if you refuse God's philosophy and refuse what he says and refuse what he says, God has a statute of limitations. There's a time that only he knows when the last time that you have a chance to accept his gift of salvation. If you're lost here today, I can't tell you when that time is. I can't tell you if today is today or yesterday was today. And you might be here and say, well, I'm glad I have. You're a Christian. You are. If you've accepted him, you're a Christian. But Christian, I want to talk to you today. Because I've been that Christian before that accepted Jesus Christ. I accepted God's philosophy. And then, at the same time, I began to try to make God's philosophy fit into my own philosophy. Can I get a witness? Anybody here ever done that? The things that God was clearly telling me to do. Mike, you need to be at church. Yeah, but I've got this going on. God, you understand, I've got this and I've got that going on. So listen, I might not do this. And hey, you need to read your Bible. That voice was strong. Well, I know, but I'm busy and I got this. And I'm going to read it when I do this. And hey, did you pray? You need to go in there and pray. I will, just a second. I'll do this. And you begin to put it off and put it off. And you say, well, at least God keeps telling you that through the Holy Spirit. You think that, don't you? Let me tell you something. When the Spirit begins to start telling you something and you continually refuse to listen to it, then you're accepting your own philosophy. And God says clearly in His Word that we're supposed to be faithful in prayer to Him. We're supposed to be faithful in serving Him. We're supposed to be faithful in coming together and worship Him. We're supposed to be faithful in all these things. When we adapt a different philosophy that says, yeah, I know, but this is more important, or I need to do this and I need to do this, the Holy Spirit has told you. You don't need me to tell you. I'm here to reinforce what God might say, but I'm the same as you. The Holy Spirit's told me. I felt nervous before when I knew I was supposed to be doing something for God that I wasn't doing. I felt nervous before. I felt like, okay, yeah, I could have been there. I could have been doing this, or I did need to have my children there. I should have taken this stand in my home. I should have said it this way. I should be doing devotions. I should be doing this. God, the Holy Spirit's told me, right? He's told you, hasn't He? He's told you, hasn't He? Good. That means Holy Spirit's in you because He tells you things. You haven't been perfect. But when I continue to reject that, even though I know it, guess what? That voice of God's philosophy becomes lighter and lighter and lighter. Why? Because I'm beginning to accept my own philosophy. You know, it might talk to me when I miss a service. It might talk to me more when I miss two. But the third one's easier. The fourth one's easier than that. The fifth one's easier than that. Why? Because God basically has a different philosophy that says, if you want to try your own philosophy, you're going to need to see that I am right. You see, man always wants to say that he's right. God will prove to you that God is never wrong. And I've been on that end of it before, where I put Mike's philosophy in place and tried to carry around God's philosophy over here. Yeah, I'll show up. I'll do this. I'm Christian. I believe in this and that, but I've got my own agenda. Guess what? I can tell you all today that God will make sure, because He loves you, that you get to the point that the bottom is pulled out from under your philosophy. Why? Because He loves you and He needs to show you that you're not right. If God lets you succeed with that, then God is wrong. Understand, it's what we ask for sometimes. We adopt our own philosophy and put away what the Bible says and starts believing something that God didn't say. We're destined to have to be brought back to God that way. And the Holy Spirit, it has that work, and it'll be right there to speak to you in the only way that you'll know how to listen, when you're humbled. When the rest of life is taken out from under you and you're ready to say, God, my philosophy stunk. I was wrong. I failed. This doesn't feel good. I've lost my peace. I've lost this. My family has fallen apart. My marriage has fallen apart. I've got this going on. I don't have any peace of mind. I've got a trouble here financially. I've got this kind of thing going on. Life is terrible, God. And God's going to speak to you through the Holy Spirit at that time and say, Didn't I tell you to seek me first? Your philosophy didn't work, Mike. But you know what? I love you. I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to reach down and I'm going to give you another chance to live by my philosophy. Guys, this is how big that is. You see, in order for man to have a philosophy other than God's and choose not to believe in what God and God alone is saying, man would have to refuse all those different ways that God has tried to give his philosophy of life to us. Think about it. I gave them to you today. Those Old Testament saints, the prophets, Jesus himself, the apostles, the work of all their written works, which we call the Bible, and the Holy Spirit. When a person chooses not to believe in what God says, they have basically said, all those attempts that you've given, God, to be able to show me your philosophy, I still would rather take my own. You say, how could God send a person to hell? I just gave you all those ways that God is trying to get them to be with him in heaven. He started from the creation of man, and he's still doing it through the Holy Spirit. That's how bad he wants you to be in heaven. If you go to hell, it's because you refuse to believe God's philosophy. Clear and simple. Today, the sad thing is that the majority of our society has begun to openly reject the philosophy of God, has begun to think that they're intelligent enough to choose for themselves their own philosophy to believe. That's why this account of what happened in Athens in Acts 17 is so important. This is what was happening there. They had rejected God's philosophy so they could live by their own philosophy. You say, yeah, they were bad. Listen, I'm going to tell you what makes it worse for us. What makes it worse for us is that in the time that this was written, they didn't have the written work of God yet. And we do. They didn't have the presence of the Holy Spirit in abundance like we do. They didn't have copies of the Old Testament scriptures available like we do. And the works of Jesus, it had just gotten to them briefly. They weren't grown up in a society that believed it. And we do. So which one would you say is worse? Our society. And when you go to the end of these verses and you see what God said, he said, and in the times of ignorance, God winked at. In other words, he's saying there was a time, and in these other times, God knew that it was harder to get the gospel to all these people and the Gentile nations which didn't have it. If you didn't grow up and hear what God's message was to the Jews in times past, he winked at, meaning God didn't put no value on it, but it wasn't as severe as now. He says, but now. Remember we said, but now? But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repent means change your way. Because he hath appointed a day in which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. God's saying it's become serious business. Right now you have no excuse. And to give you something to read ahead for next week as we see what God's penalty for not accepting his philosophy is, and we see the penalty to society, you read ahead next week and go ahead and read in Romans chapter 1, because that's where we'll be going from that. And you're going to see that inside of every man, God has put something that will naturally draw that man to God. That man has to refuse that. He has to refuse God's philosophy in order to be lost. It's a big deal. I want you to understand that Paul went about it in a certain way by telling them who God was. He began to say, basically, let me explain to you who this unknown God is. You see, verse 24, Paul told them that there was one and only God, the God Jehovah, who created all things. And he told them, God is not a God that lives on this earth. He's not a God that's in your temples here. He's not a God that's in your shrines. And in verse 25, he said, God's not an image that can be made in worship. He's not something you can carve out. He's not something that set up here as a statue to worship. He's not some image that can be made by man. God gives life to all men, and he sustains every man's life. In other words, how can something that God created create something that they could worship? He tells us in verse 26 of Acts 17 that God's appointed a time for every man to be born, every man to die, and He's chosen where they're to be born and where they're to be lived. You know, it's not a mistake that you're where you're at, and God's appointed a time for everybody to be born, everybody to be to die. It doesn't matter what you walk into the doctor and they tell you, whether they tell you it's going to be one day or they tell you it's going to be 50 years, you'll leave this earth at the appointed second God has you to leave this earth. And if it wouldn't be from the disease or whatever you think you have or the problem, it'll be for the train that hits you at the certain time that God says for you to leave. But you're leaving here one way or another if God's got that plan. So we don't need to fret any day. Every day God gives us is a gift that God gave us, and it's up to Him. If Jesus tarries coming back, every one of us have a terminal diagnosis. We're all going to die. You know anybody that hasn't? That's God's philosophy. Paul tells them in verse 28 that without God, they're nothing. Listen to this. For in Him, we live and move and have our being. Do you know that you and I can do nothing apart from God? Even the people that stood in front of my children and told my children that in order to be considered intellectual, they need not to believe what your father has taught you. You need to believe what will cause you to be intellectual, and you need to refuse the philosophy of that old God and accept this new philosophy. Those people that said that, God's the one that gave them the mind and the voice to think. In other words, in Him, they lived and moved and had their being. God's the one that created them. Paul tells them that they're the offspring of God. Know that we're created in the image of God. And I want you to listen to verses 30 and 31 one more time. Guess what the word He tells them to do? Repent. Repent. And then He tells them that the judgment day will come to every man that ever lived, and they will be judged based on if they accepted God's philosophy, which states that you have to worship Him and Him alone, and that you come to Him by believing and accepting Jesus Christ. One verse of Scripture I can give you. Jesus says, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Me. Amen. That's God's philosophy. When we say accept Christ, understand, it means accept God's philosophy. Accept what Christ did by believing God's philosophy of Jesus Christ being our only way to God. If you reject Jesus, you're rejecting God's philosophy, which has been revealed to you so many different ways. It's been revealed in the Old Testament. It's been revealed by the prophets, by Jesus, by the apostles, by the Bible, and by the Holy Spirit in God's attempt to get you to come to Him. It's a big deal to reject God. It's not easy to reject God. He gives you every chance in the world to believe. He set all these things in place. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Still, yet so many men choose not to believe. Why? Because man wants to be right. And in order for me to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, I had to bow before God and say, I'm wrong. My philosophy won't do it. I'm lost and I'm scared, God. I want to accept Your philosophy and I want to live for You. And then my job is to raise my children and to live in a society where I am preaching and teaching and witnessing, and Yours is too. What am I talking about? God's philosophy. Where do I get my information? I get it from the Holy Spirit and I get it from the Word of God. If I leave either one of those alone too far, guess what? I'll go back to my own philosophy. I look back in my life as I was studying for this, and I think back, and I know the times when I was away from God. Every one of those times is when I left God's philosophy alone. I didn't become frequent in reading my Bible. I didn't become frequent in prayer, and I didn't become frequent in my church attendance and worship and hearing the Word of God preached and taught. Every single one of those times, I veered back to my own philosophy. Can I have a witness that ever happened to anybody else in here? And then what is God's pattern? What does He have to do? He loves you enough to be able to humble you to where you're able to see, hey, your philosophy doesn't work. God's gracious like that, isn't He? So today, I have three questions that are answered by God's word. Number one, why are we here? I want to give you simple answers, and you won't even have to write them down. You can remember it. Why are we here? God created us to have fellowship with Him. That's why you're here. He created you to have fellowship with Him on this earth and eternally. That's why God made you. Number two, what is your purpose here? Our purpose is to live in fellowship with God, to love Him, serve Him, obey Him, and to tell others about them so that we can bring them into fellowship with God. That's your purpose. You say, no, my purpose is this. I'm a mother. I'm a father. I do this and that. No, that's your side purpose. If you're a child of God, your vocation, your job, your purpose as a servant of God is to be able to love God, obey Him, honor Him, and bring others to Him. Some of them might be your children and family, but your job is to do that. That's your purpose. That's why God has you living another day here. If not, you don't need to be alive. I don't need to be alive. And number three, where do we go from here? God's philosophy says that He's prepared a place for us. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a promise. Glory to God, right? We have a home eternal in the heavens. He says, in this body, we do groan, 2 Corinthians 5, waiting for this temporary to go away and the eternal, a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens He has for us. That's where we're going. If we reject God's philosophy, then number one, we will not have fellowship with God. If we reject God's philosophy, we will live this life without the peace that comes with fellowship with God. And number two, we will not spend eternity in heaven in fellowship with God. Philosophy is a pretty big deal, isn't it? The philosophy of God is something you either accept or reject. You either live by it or you don't live by it. That's how important it is. You see, one thing that every person that spends eternity in hell will have in common. One thing. They'll come from all different places, all races, creeds, colors, ages, genders. One thing that every person in hell will have in common is that every one of them rejected the philosophy of God. Today, I don't want you to leave here if you're unsure whether you've accepted the philosophy of God, which is, you can't come to me unless you accept Jesus as your Savior. His philosophy is that we're sinners and we're separated from God by sin, and that Jesus is the only way. He died for us. He was buried. He rose again. His blood is the only thing that will cover our sins. And we have to come to Him and do what He says, repent and say, God, I'm wrong. I'm lost. But I believe in what You did. I believe the way that You want me. I believe You love me. I believe You sent Your Son to die for me. I believe Your philosophy that tells me how to get to You. I believe You'll take care of me, and I believe that You're always going to give me fellowship with You through eternity. I believe that. And God will save you. And if you're a Christian that's here today, and you realize that, oh me, I've known God's philosophy well, but I've sort of been trying to run it parallel with mine and letting mine take the lead. God gives you another chance today before you have to get to a lower spot. You see, I realize now that I'm a man, I'm a human being, I'm prone to sin. I'm prone to want to accept my own philosophy about so many different things, aren't you? And I have to say what John the Baptist was able to tell us. God, I must decrease so that You can increase. I've got to admit that I don't know everything and You do. God, I need You. You know, everybody in this room can pray that prayer today. And God will give you that extra bit of strength that you need to live by. This is a time of prayer that we have in this invitation. I'm going to invite you to come this morning and pray. If you realize and you're in this room right now that you've never accepted God's philosophy wholly, you've never repented of your sins, there's never been that time when you've prayed for His forgiveness and asked Him to come into your heart as your Savior, you can pray that prayer this morning. If you want me to pray it with you, I'll be standing right down here. And if you're in this room and you just realize, hey, I haven't taken this serious enough, and today God spoke to me, get on your knees and pray to Him today. Ask Him to keep revealing His philosophy to you so that He can keep giving His blessings to you. Stand with me. Father God, I love You, I praise You, and I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your Word, Lord, that cuts into our heart and finds us where we're at. I pray that You would move in this service today and lead, Lord, those that may not have accepted Your Son Jesus as their Savior. Lord, You would give them the boldness and lead them, Lord, to be able to pray to You today so the angels would rejoice. And I pray, God, for Christians all over this room, Lord, who You've revealed Your Word to, Lord. Speak to them today, Lord, as You've spoken to me and convicted me. In Jesus' name. Amen.